And when it comes to God, he only asks that we adore him only, that we refrain from using him to back up our lies, and to keep holy or to dedicate to him a day a week. And so, a religious person tries to respect what belongs to God, and he tries to respect what belongs to Caesar. Now, what is a religion? Well, it is making specific the general spiritual life. It groups people together in what we would call a religious sect or organization. Now, before I begin in this, never in the history of mankind has there been found a group, a people, a nation, a race, a tribe, a clan, a family. There has never been a major group of humans that has not had a religion. Now, what is this group? It's a group of individuals, all of whom embrace the three C's, a common creed, a common code, and a common cult. Creed, they all believe the same things about God and life. Code, they all function according to a moral code that tells them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. Do good, avoid evil, and then they try to spell it out. A common cult, they worship together. Now, spirituality is a very personal thing. I worship God, I think of God inside of me, just as you do inside of you. That's the spiritual life in general. Religion is the group worship of God, and it takes care of all human needs. Number one, I am an individual, and number two, I am a member of many groups. So what's wrong with belonging to a religious group? I am a member of society as well as an individual. A religion is the logical result of personal spiritual development. It is normal. Now, let's examine that. It is normal to belong to a lot of groups because man by nature is a social being. As soon as I was born, I became a member of the group that we call the family. And as I grew a little bit older, I was a member of another group called my neighborhood or community. Then I became a member of a group, school. And then I became, or perhaps already was, a member of a church, a member of a group of workers, a member of some club or clubs, some fraternal organizations that I belong to. So belonging to a group of God worshipers is just as normal as belonging to Kiwanis or my neighborhood or whatever. It is perfectly normal to do that. By the way, a good AA meeting will illustrate what I've been trying to say about individual worship and group worship. In some areas of the world, AA meetings open with a moment of silence in which each AA member kind of places himself with his own words and his own thoughts in the presence of God. When the meeting is over, we all stand, join hands, and pray together in the only way that we can pray together, through a memorized prayer. Now, for a lot of Christians, it's the Lord's Prayer. And by the way, may I make a suggestion? If you are in an area of the country or the world where the members of any given individual AA meeting are predominantly non-Christians, I wonder if we couldn't just choose a different prayer to offer. Maybe perhaps the Serenity Prayer or something general. Or simply, again, if we do not have anything in common, at least the joining of hands makes us worshipers as a group. All right. Now, this business of people who belong to a group with a creed, a code, and a cult, we call that a religion or a church. For some reason or other, a lot of AA members knock church members. And I believe You know, there is a phenomenon that occurs in human nature in which we accuse others of what we're guilty of. Now, I'm not saying that that's true of everybody. I'm just saying that a lot of people say, no, I don't go to church. It's peopled by a whole lot of hypocrites. Well, if you don't go, how do you know? I would be very, very careful about making general statements about anybody, because I'm absolutely convinced, simply because I know it, that a lot of these so-called hypocrites prayed us sober, or at least helped to. Anyway, what is the purpose of going to church, of worshiping God in a group? And again, here, I know I sound like a teacher because, well, I was one, but just let me share with you a few kind of very, very basic notions about this whole business of church. A lot of times I hear from old youngsters who want to cop out, or oldsters who want to cop out, well, I don't go to church anymore, I don't get a whole lot out of it. Well, the obvious question of that is, what do you bring to it? Because you see, the worship of God is fourfold. I go to church primarily to give, to pay a debt of what we call adoration. The first purpose of gathering together with my fellow human beings is to adore God, is to acknowledge with this free mind that He is God. That's called adoration, and I give that to no one else except the God who created me. So I go primarily to adore. That's first commandment, if you will. The second thing is to offer gratitude or thanksgiving for the blessings I have received. The third purpose is to express sorrow for having broken certain rules of the code, and then to ask for my needs. And by the way, the emphasis is on asking. Ask, and you'll receive. Now, AA is a spiritual movement. It is not a religion. The conclusion is obvious. AA is no substitute for your church. It isn't meant to be, and it is embarrassed when we make it that. Emotionalism, I think, is to be shunned. Not that emotions are bad, but too often I hear people say, well, no, I don't go to church. I prefer to go to a Sunday morning AA meeting because I feel God more at an AA meeting. Well, spirituality that is based on pure emotionalism is a spirituality that is based on sand. I like to liken going to church to paying my phone bill. Now, I can smile and grin and be very happy. I can feel good about paying my phone bill, but I don't have to. I just have to pay it. It's a debt. It's a debt that I owe to my fellow man, a group of people who have supplied me with phone service. I pay for that. God has created me. He has given me things I'm grateful for. I've broken rules that I'm sorry for, and I have needs that only He can fulfill. So I go to church to handle those obligations. It's that simple. It's that simple. People whose spirituality is based on emotionalism, I think, a pure emotionalism, I think are skating on very thin ice. You remember when we were drinking? You know what our disease is referred to as in the big book? Self-will run riot. We did what we felt like. E over I, emotions predominating over intellect. Well, now we've been restored. E over I plus AA is a restoration of the formula according to which most normal people function. I over E, intellect predominates over emotions. I do things now because I'm an adult. I see that they ought to be done, and I set out to do them. In AA, don't we go to meetings because we ought to? Don't we try to help drunks because we ought to, if we want to stay alive? You may want to go to a World Series game, but you'd better go to your job because you have to if you want to continue to support your family. Adults do things because they should be done. That's why we make amends, because they should be done. That's why in the program we pray, because it should be done. That's why we take an inventory, simply because it ought to be done. Normal, sound people, sound mind and a sound body, do these things. We have been restored to our humanity, or we have had our humanity restored to us, and so forth. Now, in the AA program, we are asked to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. And in the 11th step, we are asked to pray, seeking only a knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Now, if I may, before we wind this up, I'd just like to make a few observations about God's will. What is God's will? I've heard a lot of people refer to disasters as God's will. God gets blamed for a lot of things that He didn't have a whole lot to do with. God's will has to be understood as being twofold, His specific will and His permissive will. All right, what's the specific will of God? Well, minimally, it's the Ten Commandments. I mean, He has verbalized that. These are things that I want you to do. That is very specific. And then there's what we call the permissive will of God. It's what He allows simply because He has kind of handcuffed Himself, preventing Himself from interfering with the will of others. He created human beings with this phenomenon that we call free will. Now He knows, and He knew before He brought it into being, that it would be abused. And yet He will not interfere with man's free use of his will, or He would be denying the very nature that He created. And so, you're walking down the street and somebody shoots you. That's not God's will. It's the will of the shooter. You happen to be the shootee. God permits that. And so it is His will only insofar as He has allowed it. Wars. God doesn't will wars. He allows them to happen because He has given individuals freedom of choice. Now, what's God's will for the alcoholic? To get sober and stay sober. And you can go to your grave on that minimal knowledge of God's will. But if you constantly pursue the spiritual life that AA put you on the track of, you may, through study, find out that there are more specifics in God's will for you. A lot of people are afraid of that because I think they're afraid of commitments that they might be asked to make, and they're just afraid of the unknown. That's why many of us are afraid of steps 6 and 7, to become willing to have our defects of character removed and then to ask God to remove these shortcomings. I just think that many of us are deathly afraid that if we ask, He's going to try to do so. And I just may not want to give up some of my shortcomings. What I'm trying to say is this. Many of us pursue God's will only so far, and then we're afraid to go any further because He's just liable to ask a little bit more of us. But please don't, if you choose not to belong to a religion, that's your business. This is what God permits, the free use of your will. But please don't knock those who do go by saying, well, they go there and they say their prayers, but they're just as bad as they were before. My only comment to that is this. If I, like many other churchgoers, fail in so many aspects of the spiritual life, with the help of church, what in the name of heavens would I be without it? Supposing somebody looks at you as a member of AA and says, well, AA teaches you that you ought to take an inventory and try to get rid of your faults, and you're still the same old miserable twerp that you always were. Your only answer is, look, if I'm having such a time making progress with the help of AA, what would I be without it? It's the same thing, exactly the same thing. I find God's will for me through the 12 steps of AA and through my own particular religion. I humbly submit that you can do exactly the same thing. Now, finally, I believe that some individual humans who are dedicated to God in their own way as clergy somehow give God a bad name and religion a bad name. Now, I'm not being condemnatory here. I'm just saying what I see. Some people, and I've met many of you in AA, who have said, well, boy, I'll tell you, the God that was taught to me in my youth made me so deathly afraid of him that as soon as I got old enough, I bolted. Well, the God that was presented to me made me want to be a priest. I think that the truth about God is what God is. The God that is presented by some clergyman's idea of him may not be very accurate. And this is why I would strongly suggest pursue truth yourself through your own reading and study. The church really is not a museum for saints. It's for people like you and me. It's a hospital for sinners. And here I think we will meet what we meet in AA. Fellow human beings with a whole lot of good traits, a whole lot of idiosyncrasies, and a whole lot of failings. Well, just by way of conclusion, I sincerely hope that some of these thoughts will be of help to you, because I do know from a lot of years of experience in AA that some people really are so terrified of God that they don't want to talk about him and they don't want to hear others talk about him. But there should be nothing threatening about truth. It is perfectly true that truth will set you free. It'll set you free from error, falsehood, misconception, half-truth, and everything else. Truth never hurt anybody. Truth sets you free. So I do hope that some of these notions have helped. And I am grateful that some of you have said that some of the things that I have done have helped you in your sobriety. But I'd like to share a personal thought with you right now. The morning after I entered treatment at Guest House, I began to pray for alcoholics. Those in AA and those who ought to be in AA. And I would really like to believe that my prayers for you before the throne of this God of our understanding, I would like to believe that these prayers have done far more for you than any film or tape or talk that I've ever given. The spiritual life that should logically culminate in embracing some religion will guide us back to the God who made us and the God for whom we are made. St. Augustine once said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee." And I think that every alcoholic on earth can understand the words of Francis Thompson's magnificent poem, The Hound of Heaven. I fled him down the nights and days. I tried to run away from God, and yet the Hound of Heaven, as he is called in the poem, pursued me until he brought me to my knees and back to his embrace where I belong. Thank you for listening to me.